Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program. Love that new open. Welcome back, Scott.
Wow.
Yeah, you love it, don't you? All right. And, you know, Lisa wanted to play Welcome Back, Cotter. And I said, no, we're not going to do that with you. So, all right. Well, without any further ado.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Go get him, Scott.
Well, Tuesday's market was a pretty crazy market. We're in this kind of situation right now where things either look like they can go really strongly up or really strongly down at the basically drop of any news item. But by the time it was all said and done, Tuesday's trade was pretty flat. The Dow basically flat at 12,504, S&P flat at 13,16, NASDAQ down a little bit at 28,39, although Apple's been rebounding nicely the last few days. Facebook, which is not in the NASDAQ yet, but will be eventually, down $3 at 31. What a disaster that's
okay, been. So I'm figuring since the IPO price at 38 bucks a share, anybody who got in on the IPO, you lucky dogs, you're down 18%.
Yeah, I think it really was telling when you started to see that the allocations were going almost all to retail investors. That told you that the so-called smart money, the institutional money, didn't want anything to do with it at $38. And there was all this silliness, like they were changing the pricing range and they were changing the number of shares that were going to be issued. And then we find out in the news that Morgan Stanley was changing their revenue forecasts during the roadshow. How do you price it originally?
I don't know how you do this. And their price to earnings ratio is like 74 times earnings.
Yeah, at these prices. Never have I seen a revenue forecast change in the middle of a roadshow. How do you price it originally if you don't have a solid grip on what the revenue is going to be?
They were for the revenue before they were against it.
So that Facebook thing is a disaster. Not to mention what you're not hearing on the regular press is that there are lockup periods now. So In another 90 days and then in another 6 months,
be pressure.
There are big waves of supply coming on the market. More supply means lower price and less demand offsets.
Well, maybe that's when the smart money will get in the game.
I think there's definitely some potential for that. Looking at the other markets that we like to keep an eye on, tens at 1.78, still very, very low on tens. Gold showing a lot of weakness again, down 21 at 1566 after a little bounce, which leads me to believe that little bounce that it had the last few days was a short cover. Oil continuing to show weakness. I paid $3.47 the other day at the racetrack up at Granada and 95.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I was very happy about that. Down $1.35 at $91.52. And I suspect you're planning a trip to Europe, or maybe should be, so I'm going to start to update you on the euro, 126.
That's so much better than when I went over. We went to Italy a few years back, and it was like 170.
Ugh. 126. That's low.
That'll buy a lot of prosciutto.
Absolutely. Now, that sold off late because at the very end of the market, we actually had a pretty strong market until about the last half hour or so, and then former Greek Prime Minister Lucas Papademos came out, and he said, listen, we already have our plans to exit the euro, just so everybody knows.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, any responsible business planning person or government planning person is going to have a plan for every eventuality. So it shouldn't really be news, but the market heard that, and they're like, oh, my God. But why would they not plan? The bigger news is if, hey, we don't have a plan. Now, that's news.
Well, but they're trying to telegraph their position, letting you know, if you're not going to drag us to the negotiating table, we're gonna set our own terms because, by golly, we owe everybody money, and we'll decide.
They do indeed owe everybody money. So just a small little handful of economic data came out on Tuesday's trade. Existing home sales rose 3.4% to an annual rate of 4.6 million units. That's the highest rate in almost 2 years. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. So that's good news. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development projected that global growth is going to ease back to about 3.4% this year from a previous 3.6 in 2011. And overseas, Fitch, you'll love these numbers. This is right up your alley. Fitch downgraded Japan's credit rating from a AAA to a AA+. Still pretty good, right? Fears that the country's public debt will reach 239% of its GDP. So they go from AAA to AA+. At 239%.
So aren't we AA+ too?
Yes.
So they've got the same credit rating that we do, and their debt to GDP ratio is double ours.
239%, and they're AA+. That will tell you the validity of the credit rating agencies. In corporate news, handful of pieces of corporate news I told you already about. Facebook, a company called Patriot Coal, which is a real high flyer when people are trading a lot of coal, sold off very, very heavily on Tuesday's market. Rumors out there that they have recently hired bankruptcy advisors and attorneys, so that's not good news.
That's not good.
I think there really is a gravitation away from coal. Arch Coal and Alpha Natural Coal also significantly lower on the day. Google completed its acquisition of Motorola Mobility. That's about a $12 billion deal.
We'll see how long it lasts, how they make their technology available now that they own that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, that whole marketplace is just moving so fast, and there's so many unknowns. And then finally, looking at JP Morgan, they have the big $2 billion credit derivative loss, at least at this point, $2 billion. Looks like the feds are going to look into some of their disclosures. A publicly traded company has to, every quarter, publish what they call a 10-Q. That basically is a report of the relevant information regarding their financial positions. They do three of those, and at the end of the year, they do the 10-K, which is the yearly. Well, they delayed their 10-Q. They've been pretty clear that they delayed their 10-Q, and whose decision it was. It was Mr. Dimon's. And then top Republican from Alabama, Richard Shelby, said basically the SEC and the CFTC, which is the Commodities Board, really needs to look into what's going on here, because if they knew there was a $12 billion loss and they continued to trade in these markets and didn't disclose it, then markets need to know that.
There's talk of this loss growing to as much as $3 billion.
I've seen as high as five.
Oh, man.
I've seen as high as five.
That is an attention getter.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Keep in mind, it's their money, so it's not the MF Global situation where there was client money involved and so on, so it's a little bit of a different deal, but it's $2 billion is $2 billion.
All right, Scott, you are always with it, and we appreciate it, and now, on tomorrow's show, just to tease our audience, they've got a whole day of Scott, right?
Not a whole day, but
a whole program of Scott.
Yeah, we can talk about Facebook. We can talk about JP Morgan. Right. There's not much going on economically this week, so maybe we could dig into the IPO process
We'll have plenty. I've got a stack of stuff. I've been waiting for you to come back.
All right.
Okay, Scott, thank you.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. I've got a special guest for you. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. As I always love to do, I've teased you before the break to tell you I have a special guest and extra special, Danny Kofke. Danny, welcome to the program.
Hey, David. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Well, this will be very easy because I understand that you are a veteran of being on radio programs, because your message has been very well received by America.
Yes, it has. I think I am fortunate in the fact that when I wrote my first book a few years ago, shortly after it came out is when the economy started to take a nosedive, and it's about living on a teacher's salary, and I think many were forced into learning how to live well on less, and I think that is where I kind of came in, that just a school teacher showing people how I've done well, just raising my family. I have two daughters. My wife was a stay-at-home mom for 7 years and did it all on a pretty moderate income. So I think for me, I was fortunate in the fact that the economy started to take a little nosedive just because then my message became more popular, and I think that has led to having some pretty positive media exposure.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Danny is a special education teacher, and he's also an author with two books. Both of them are available on Amazon.com and also on his website, the blog spot. And I've not gotten into blogging very much, Danny, so it's a little bit foreign yet to me. But DannyKofke.blogspot.com. And the first book is How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher's Salary. And then the latest book is A Simple Book of Financial Wisdom, Teach Yourself and Your Kids How to Live Wealthy with Little Money.
Yep, you got it. And the blog page I actually use more of as a website, and I guess being the frugal person I am, when you set it up through Blogger, it's free. So I thought, gosh, free is good. So free is great. I kind of use it as a website, but I do have a blog on there as well.
Very cool. And you know, I told Danny, I said, I don't want to get too much into the program before we get on the program, but my mom was a special ed teacher, and of course that's what you do in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, both my parents were teachers,
okay.
And they're retired now.
Right.
And I can tell you from my own personal experience growing up, you know, we did just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two teacher salaries, and, you know, we took trips and we did stuff. And I, you know, we had everything we needed, maybe
Definitely.
Not everything we wanted, but we had everything we needed, and we were just fine. And much of what I remember growing up was a lot of great stuff we did that didn't cost a lot of money.
True, and I think that's where we are different and have to be different than others, because I'll tell you right now, this is just finished my 12th year teaching. Last day of school is today, actually. So
well, good for
summer
you.
Break, but make a little over $43,000 a year. So definitely a moderate level income. My wife, like I said, was a stay-at-home mom for 7 years. She actually just went back to work this year, but teaching my four-year-old's pre-K class, so it adds about $500 a month to our income. So not a large sum. So we still have to be pretty frugal with our money and know where everything is going, but you're absolutely right that I feel like we have it all. I have a house. I have two cars. I have a lot of things. But someone, you know, once asked me, say, what's the difference between you and other people? Because when I see you do have it all, but I guess the thing is we don't have everything that we want right away. And I think that is kind of the key to our success, actually, because a lot of people did get into financial trouble. As a country, we tend to have the mentality, if I see it, I want it, I'm going to buy it, without thinking about the future ramifications of those decisions. So we're just a little bit different, where if we do want something, then we just save up before we have it. We can't go out to eat every single night. We can't live in a 3,000 square foot home, or I guess we could, but something would have to give. I would have to get out of teaching and have a higher paying job. So that's kind of, I think, where people, you know, I do feel like I do have it all. I just don't have everything I want. Kind of like what you said, where you felt growing up you had it all, just didn't get it always, everything that you wanted at the time that you wanted it.
Well, unfortunately, maybe, you know, when you're younger, you don't maybe get exposed to all of the media messages of what you're supposed to have. And, you know, it gets harder as you get older because you see those things and you're much more aware of how, you know, purchases and things like that, transactions are made. And of course, credit cards were not very prevalent when we, you know, at least
right.
I'm thinking, okay, when did those get introduced? But this prudence that you are helping people understand, I think is so relevant to where everybody is today. And it's especially as we look at the country and the direction that we're trying to figure out what to do. And it seems like around the world, I'm not going to say austerity, but mm-hmm. financial prudence seems to be where everybody's headed and what we're trying to figure out.
Right. And I think it's so important. The message I teach, it's been around 100 years, if not longer. I mean, basically, spend less than you earn. That's kind of the bottom line. I could sum it up that easily. But then the emotions get involved, and that's when it becomes a lot more difficult. So that's kind of where I, like I said before, I think I was fortunate to come along at the right place at the right time where I did have a message. But I think the cool thing about my message is that I'm not a financial expert. I'm not a CEO of a company. I am a school teacher, and most people can relate to a school teacher. And that's where I want to show people, if I can do it, then you can do it too. Now, when it comes to investing, when it comes to different types of insurance, then obviously you're going to seek a professional to kind of help you and guide you along with those types of decisions. But most people aren't struggling with their retirement. They're not worried 30 years down the road. They're worried about next week and how they're going to pay their bills. And I think that's where my message is most powerful, is that I can show you how to do it. And it doesn't, you don't have to have an economics degree to figure it out, the personal day-to-day spending plan. And with my message, like I said, most people do know a school teacher, so they can relate to it. And I can show people that, you know, if I can figure it out, then you can do it too. And it's not that hard. Yes, you might have to make some changes. Yes, you may have to make some sacrifices. But the good thing is, it's not hard to figure out. it's attainable.
It's not a mystery.
Right.
I mean, you're not dealing with trying to, translate, ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Right, or talking about derivatives or different types of things when it gets really confusing in the stock market. It doesn't have to be that hard. And I know a lot of people make it out to be so much more difficult than what it is. So that's hopefully where my message can kind of come across and just help people, especially in these difficult times, to show them they can do it and empower them and let them know, don't feel like you're a failure. And yes, you're going to make mistakes, and that's fine. We all make mistakes, but the important thing is that we learn from them and we grow and we become stronger because of them.
Amen. I can tell you, well, hey, look, I'm a financial planner and I know I've made financial mistakes. Everybody makes financial mistakes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a mistake, though, would be to not take a look at Danny's books. Danny Kofke, A Simple Book of Financial Wisdom, Teach Yourself and Your Kids How to Live Wealthy with Little Money, and of course, How to Survive on a Teacher's Salary. Those are available on Amazon and, of course, and Barnes & Noble and all the other online website companies. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Danny. Stay tuned.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
If you're just joining us, I have Danny Kofke, who is a special education teacher and the author of A Simple Book of Financial Wisdom, Teach Yourself and Your Kids How to Live Wealthy with Little Money, and also How to Survive on a Teacher's Salary. Danny, welcome back.
Hey, David. Thank you so much.
Very good. And we were talking before the break about, everybody makes mistakes. Financial planners make mistakes. Other people make financial mistakes. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about really applying, common sense, wisdom, some of the principles that have been around for many, many years. We had an author last year that was talking about the principles that the Amish use. And again, it's all about getting back to the basics. And you're so on target with your message about, living within a budget and making smart financial personal spending decisions, because one of the things I talk about in my book is I talk about the fact that one of the threats that people have to their retirement security is the risk of overspending. Mm-hmm. And there's no financial planner on the planet that can fix somebody who just spends more than they can really afford to spend.
No, we all have a set amount coming in. And the thing is, if you spend more than you earn, doesn't matter if you make 10 grand a year, 100K a year, or even $1 million a year, you're going to be in trouble. And you're so right. And in my book, I show examples, and they're pretty extreme, but of some celebrities that have found bankruptcy. And a big one is Michael Jackson. At the time of his death, there were some reports that he was over $400 million in debt. And you think about how much money did Michael Jackson make in his lifetime. So it just shows, I know it's an extreme example, but if you spend more than you earn, it doesn't matter how much you make, you're going to be in trouble.
$400 million, that's a lot of sequin gloves.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of parachute pants and everything. You're right, I know. But it's just, like I said, I know it's extreme, but it just shows that, man, it really doesn't matter. If you can control your spending and spend less than you have coming in, and then with that other money that you're investing in or you're doing other things with, you have that growth. That's the path to successful financial freedom. And a lot of people for so long, we just went along and we thought we're going to get that raise every year. Our homes are going to go up 10% a year. And we just had these things that, this is going to be a given. And then when that didn't happen, so many people were living to the extreme, living up to their paychecks, if not over it. And that's when so many of them find themselves in trouble right now because, gosh, it's going to rain, and we have to be prepared for those times. We have to have that umbrella ready.
And I know you were on the a guest of Pat Robertson's on the 700 Club, and so I wouldn't be surprised if this came up. But it's really the biblical lesson. It is we had the seven fat cows, mm-hmm. and then they were followed by what? Seven skinny cows. And so it's not something new under the sun that we have experienced as a country and our economy and, of course, the global issues. And we were just talking before you came on, I was getting our stock market update with Scott Connor, our CFA. We're talking about, the European Union and what's going on over there. So this is a global issue.
For sure. We're seeing right now in the news for all the you know, with Greece and the new president in France. Yes, it's no longer, I know Thomas Friedman wrote a book a few years ago, The World is Flat, but definitely we can see right now, how is Greece affecting me? But it does. Our stock market goes down with stuff that goes on over there. So, yeah, we just really have to be careful, but have our eyes on a bigger picture as well. And a lot of people do get caught up in those day-to-day ups and downs with the stock market, and they try to time in and do all these sorts of things.
No.
And, you know, for me, I'm more of the dollar-cost average type of person where I know I want my money 30 years from now, so the stock market's down. I kind of look at it like I'm buying mutual funds on share right now. I don't want to sell them right now. So if you look at the historical average, as stock market earns about 10% a year, and that's through 9/11, two world wars, all those things. Yes, some years it's up 20%, some years it's down 20%. But I think for a lot of people, we play into the media so much, and we just have to remember that bad news sells. So when we do turn on our major morning news shows or listen to popular radio shows, a lot of time it's, you know, when gas prices are high, that's going to be the thing that leads off. And we're just going to hear these stories of how tough it is and we can't do it. And that's where I hope my message is different, to give people some hope, because, I like I said, I know bad news sells, but I feel like a lot of people just throw in the towel, they wave the flag and give up. They say, gosh, if that person can't do it, then I'll never be able to do it. And I just want to instill some hope in people and just show them that, yes, you can do it. There's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some tough patches that you're going to go through. But when you stay the course, you can do it.
Sounds like the right message for the right time, Danny. Danny Kofke, he's a special education teacher. He's an author. He's got two books out right now, A Simple Book of Financial Wisdom, Teach Yourself and Your Kids How to Live Wealthy with Little Money, and How to Survive on a Teacher's Salary, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. We're going to take a quick break, Danny. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Sounds good.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we are back. And Danny, you there?
I am.
Very good. Hey, you know what I was thinking about on the break is it's really interesting because of what you're doing in your message and my message, which I do a lot of work of helping people when they are getting closer to retirement, you know, kind of making sure they're going to do what they need to do there. Mm-hmm. And very often I'm focusing on how much income can we create from their assets and make sure they don't run out.
Right.
Okay. And you're handling almost, your message is almost the mirror image, which is, it's not so much what you make, it's what you keep. And so you're kind of hitting, you know, because I don't really say, okay, let's talk about how you're going to shave some, reduce your this spending or that. If somebody says, hey, I need $3,000, then it's my job to say, here's how you're going to get $3,000.
Right.
And I like your, because you're kind of doing the other half of it, which is, okay, well, maybe it doesn't need to be $3,000. Maybe it can be $2,500.
True. And you know, my hope too with that is, you're kind of, like you said, working towards the retirement age. My hope is to help people, because I'm 36, so I haven't experienced, you know, closer to retirement yet, but helping people while they're young so that when they do hit that retirement age, they can go to someone like you and say, oh, here's that $3,000. So we sacrifice now and put it away now so we can have it later. And that's so important right now because I'm pretty sure Social Security will be there when I retire, but there's really no telling. Who knows what it's going to look like 29 years down the road. So my hope is that I'm not going to depend on it. And so many people right now are dependent solely on their Social Security because pensions in most areas, as a school teacher, I still will get one, but most areas, that's gone. So we have to do a better job, especially, and that's with the younger generation where I'm trying to help the show with the dollar cost averaging, the compound interest, so they can be in the position that they're not solely dependent on someone else or solely dependent on the government to live their golden years the way they want to. Because once you hit 65, 66, for a lot of us, I know people are working a little bit longer right now, but our greatest working years are behind us. So a lot of times we have to live off of what we've done in the past. So that's my hope right now is that I can show people while they're young, yes, it would be fine to go spend everything you have, and that is, you know, it'd be enjoyable, but we do have to think down the road too, and that you want to put yourself in a position that when you do retire, that you have enough money set aside so you can live the golden years the way you want to.
Well, and I think you're right on message with you know, the idea of making, you know, Anthony Robbins, the motivational speaker, mm-hmm. he would, you know, making incremental steps every day to change your life. You know, you don't try to do it all in one day.
Right.
And that's really a lot of what you're doing with the financial part is you don't have to do this all in one day because you are building to the future. But you know, what's interesting also, I know you're trying to help people when they're younger, but a lot of the principles that you talk about in your book, they can apply just as easily to people who are already retired and who are trying to, because I've told them, okay, here's the deal. You said 3,000. Well, you need 3,000. You got to work another 2 years, or you can have 2,500 if you retire now. It's that learning how to make those savings work that might let some people retire. Because I've had situations, Danny, where I've said to somebody, can't retire yet. The principles that I think are going to be even more, even expand to apply also to other folks, not just the younger people.
Oh, for sure. Because especially a lot of older folks, even when they're retired, they are living on a set income like I am. As a teacher, I get paid once a month. I have a set amount coming in. It's the salary. So we have to live off that. And I know older people, some people, like I mentioned before, that are living solely off Social Security, they have the same check coming in every month. So they know how much they have to spend. So you do. You have to learn how to live with less sometimes, and you have to budget accordingly. And if there is, to me, a silver lining in the economic mess that our country is going through or has gone through, is that a lot of people, when stuff gets bad, you have to drop everything, and then you start picking up one by one, and whatever is most important gets picked up first. So a lot of people have reprioritized what their value system is and what truly is important.
It's kind of a reset.
Yeah, a complete reset where we just kind of just say, okay, you know what, I used to think that was important, but golly, it really isn't so important. So I think that we kind of have gotten back to the basics where a lot of people are reevaluating how they are spending money, and they're just saying, gosh, is this truly important? Because when we have a set amount coming in, man, we got to pick and choose, and we got to pick what's most important to help us live the life that we want to.
And that might not be going out to dinner, you know, a couple days a week. It might be, you know what, let's not do that and let's do this instead. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I want HBO, so let's make a choice.
Right. And that's the thing. A lot of us, I mean, we all, most of us have a set amount of income coming in, and it's what we choose to do with that money that enables us to live the way we want to. So for us, I mean, we can't have it all. I enjoy having my wife be a stay-at-home mom and now working and teaching my four-year-old. I'm lucky enough to be her teacher. So there are certain things that we're not able to do because we want to live that lifestyle. I'm not able to go out and buy a brand new car every 3 years. I'm not able to live in a 5,000 square foot home. So right now, that's just not as important to me. So I guess that's what to me is, just you just have to do what's right for you and your family. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what the guy on TV says. You do what's right for you.
That's really what it boils down to.
Absolutely. And for some people, it is better to take exotic vacations every year and have a big house and have a nanny. And I say go for it. If that's what's good for you, if it works, then fine. But you just have to do what's right for yourself and make it personal, talk with your spouse about it, and just create those light goals so you're working towards it together.
But if it's about, you know, trying to keep up with everybody else, you can't. I mean, there's always, you know, there are folks that are always going to have more and who are always going to, there's just no way to keep up with that, and you've got to decide what's best for you and your situation. Danny, you got it nailed.
Yeah, well, you're so right, but there's always a lot of people that have it less too, and I think
that's right.
Where we just, most of us are very,
we forget
very
that
blessed.
Real quick, don't we?
Yeah.
I think that's human nature.
Absolutely. Oh, even, you know, in school, you always focus on the B instead of the straight A's. If you had straight A's and one B, you focus on the B. Like I said, bad news sells. We go out, like a lot of us focus on the negative. So it's just kind of changing the thinking a little bit and just focusing on what we have, because most of us in this country, we are very, very blessed.
You got it right, Danny. And you get 5 A's for the performance today.
Oh, there you go. President's list, baby.
There we go. All right, Danny Kofke, he is the author and a special education teacher, The Simple Book of Financial Wisdom, and also How to Survive on a Teacher's Salary. Danny, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Hey, David, thank you so much for having me on. I enjoyed it.
All right, you're welcome.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.